following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us this afternoon for our weekly health and wellbeing program, What Shape Are You In? Thank you again for your time and your effort for taking the time to call, maybe. We're speaking to our Executive Director of Finance, Dave Tomlinson, and we're talking about all the issues to do with finance and managing a trust it's one of the largest trusts in, I'm going to say Europe, but I probably should say the region.
Go with the world.
Yeah, you're going to go with the world, Dave. Okay, I'm happy to go with the world. As long as my finance director is there with me, I'm going to go with the world. We were talking about what an amazing city this is to work in, and it's really important that we understand the dynamics of the city council's bankruptcy and how we work together to try and understand the issues. And Dave was just, you know, sharing with us a real insight, really, into how we keep moving forward. So, Dave, just again, just to remind us, you know, the elephant in the room, it's the bankruptcy in the city, but here we are, me and you, talk waxing lyrical about what a fantastic city it is to work in.
Okay, so I think the real difficulty right now is we simply don't know what it really means in terms of services. Now, the council trying to work that through at the minute and understand it itself and be clear about it, and that's starting to emerge. The other thing that's a bit difficult to understand is whether there'll be any central government intervention, and that's the bit that's difficult. What is really disappointing is seeing some of the political game playing going on, but I'm not going to talk about that. What I'm going to talk about is what we can do and how we can work alongside them to maintain services. So we've really got to understand what it means, what we could do to help, and how do we work on the ground. So we're very dependent on social workers. They're the bedrock of trying to move people through the system. And it's essential we work with the council to help them in that area, to understand what the plans are and what we need to do. How do we change to adapt currently, but more importantly, how do we make sure we can sustain services so they're better when we come out the other side? Because we will come out the other side at some stage, but it's the lack of clarity at the minute that is the problem, and that's the difficulty. The danger is we can talk it up into being more than it is, and for me, it's about what do we know and what do we think, and I think it's really important we go on what we know. So as I understand at this stage, nothing's actually changed right now, but it is being clear about what that means and when it is going to change and how it affects services. And it's important we have those discussions. And both councils, both Birmingham and Solihull, play a full and active part in that local health and social care system. So the chief execs, etc., they work alongside the NHS in an open way to work through things together. And that's one of the really important things. It's not about one organisation failing or one succeeding. It's about the entire system and standing together and working it through.
Brilliant. 0121 772 8892. You might have a position in terms of what you think about recently the local council announcing bankruptcy, and it looks as if it's going to be managed by central government. I'm not sure if that's a good idea myself. But as you've just heard from Dave, who is, you know, he's got some experience around finance, it's got to be said. He said, actually, we need to be clear on what the picture is. Let's be clear on what the picture is before we start responding. And then once we're clear on that, actually, the responsibility is all ours together. Social workers, the voluntary sector, third sector. Just to give us an idea of what it is to be working alongside each other to try and resolve this horrible situation. And again, with the kind of budget that Dave has been talking about, you know, 500 billion, 300 million. And then we're going to talk about commissioning, but also the fact that the ICB, where we're looking to work in collaboration, not only with the City Council, but also our other partners, are making things, as Dave says, easier for people. Dave, that's a challenge, my friend.
I know it is. And I know myself. I know how difficult it is to get primary care. I know how difficult it is when you're sitting in A&E. I've been through that myself. I know how difficult that is. But we've got to find a way to work through that. You're right. I mean, the Integrated Care Board, who leads the local system, the health and care system, is trying to set in the framework to make this work. Part of the reason for them transferring that responsibility of commissioning to us and people like us is because the view is you can do more collectively. You can cut through some of the bureaucracy. You can take decisions quicker. You can make sure the vast majority of the money goes where it's intended, which is out there to staff and to services. In many cases, it has taken longer than it should. And, you know, part of my role is to call that out. When there are difficulties, but you call it out in a sensible, mature way and try and get the best outcome. Not to have a go at someone, but really to say, look, we're all trying to achieve this. How do we achieve that? As opposed to, I want me 5p off you. This is about how do we spend the Birmingham pound in a way that makes the most difference to Birmingham residents. It shouldn't be about organisations. It should be working outside of the barriers of your own organisation, causing the system to work, to make sure we work collectively for the residents of Birmingham and Solihull.
Absolutely. 0121 772 8892. You might want to join in this conversation. We're talking to Executive Director of Finance, Dave Tomlinson. And we're really getting into, we've got the gloves off, really, talking about how we're moving forward around the situation. And I believe we did have a caller. Caller, if you're still listening, I'm sorry about that. The line went down for some reason. Can you give us a call back? And if I could ask the guys who are in the studio to just put that call through for us, I would really appreciate that. That would be really helpful if you could do us with that. I think, is he back now? Are you there, caller? Hello, caller, are you there?
Hey.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, caller, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Who's calling, please?
This is Rudy Page.
Oh, thanks for calling, Rudy. Appreciate that. You've got a question for our finance director.
Yeah, one of the things that of great interest, obviously, with such a big system change, and we are now led to believe with these new commissioning arrangements that the local trust will have much more financial control over service provision. So it would be helpful to better understand how this is going to translate into an impact service design or redesign or reconfiguration of services, given all the evidence that we have, historical and systemic evidence around inequalities, health inequalities, I should say, and the challenges with regards to improving how they're tackled, I guess. That's what I'm really saying.
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you for that. So we're talking about systems change and the new commissioning arrangements. How is that going to support not only patients but also improve health inequalities? Dave, great question, I think.
Yeah, so there's two or three parts now. It is a really good question. And I'll try and unpack it first. And I'm not trying to avoid the question at all, but just trying to unpack it. I'd want to talk about the health inequalities bit first, if I can. So we're very conscious as an organisation about health inequalities. It's something that's a real priority for us to do something about, to make sure that whoever you are and wherever you live in Birmingham Solihull, you've got equal chance, you're equal access, all that type of stuff. We really take that seriously. So it's a real opportunity to do something about that. And we will keep that right at the core of everything. I think what's worth saying also is that just giving us power, commissioning authority, doesn't necessarily change anything. It's what you do with it. Yeah. It's also the thing to be aware of. It doesn't mean to say there's new money. There is new money, but not as a result of us having it. And we're responsible on behalf of the system to make that work going through. You're absolutely right. The bit about transformation is we've got to do things fundamentally different. The argument, though, is by giving it to providers who understand how services work and how they work alongside others, you're more likely to get sensible outcomes that make a difference to patients out there, the people that use the services, because they touch, breathe it, they spend time with them all the time. They should have a far better understanding of what works and what doesn't. We've got the authority to work with, to make that system work, to really make that change, but it is difficult. If it was an easy thing, it would have been done years ago. This is incredibly difficult, but it's also a real opportunity. It's been already said earlier on. This is a real opportunity to change. We're absolutely committed to that. And people like you need to hold us to account. We've got to be able to describe exactly why it's different and exactly what we're doing that make a difference. We're doing something right now. So before the end of the year, we will understand what people are actually saying needs to change. People would say they've been consulted to death and that's loads of time and they want to see change. But we think it's really important to find out from the horse's mouth what really matters. We've also got to make sure it's not mental health in isolation over there, but it's mental health working alongside other services, working alongside primary care to understand how that entire system works. So I think I've said before, what you get right now is people, because they've got nowhere else, will go to A&E. They can't get into primary care. Primary care struggle to hold people with certain conditions because they haven't got the specialist, you know, skills available. We've got to make sure that system works collectively to do exactly what you're talking about. So it should really be, how do we make sure that people get the service they need when they need it out there, rather than you've got to come into a big hospital, you've got to come into an inpatient stay. We need to avoid that. We need to move the locus of service and delivery to out there where people are. So in the local areas, it's about working alongside what's all called, there's a similar provider collaborative around the community area, community services that are going on alongside primary care. And we've got to work collectively with them rather than passing things between. We've got to try and manage and help that local cohort, that local set of people, to get the service they need out there so they don't have to come into the centre.
Brilliant.
Now, that's going to take an awful lot change to change it through, but it's really important people ask the question and keep pushing, because the danger is, I'll say that, and it's easy to say, delivering it is far more important. We've got to really do that.
Brilliant. Thanks,
Can
Dave.
I just make a quick,
yeah, do you want to come back? You want to come back, Rudy? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, please. I guess I understand what you're saying, but I guess what I was also alluding to is some of the historic system challenges, and also would be the changing culture, because we haven't used that word co-production.
Yeah.
And these days there's a challenge around it being accepted by the workforce in terms of that co-production, because it's still very new to people within the system. There's a term we use that developed throughout COVID where we said the workforce is the community and the community is the workforce, because we had the challenges around trust and cooperation. So how is that culture change going to happen in a period of time? The public will notice, and the acceptance of co-production as a way of working, as you know, as the business of as normal, you know. That's what I'm really.
Yeah, thank you for that asking. Second question. Great.
Yeah, it's a great question. And co-production, as I said before, the health inequalities, co-production is also something that we take really seriously. There's plenty of examples. I'm not the best person to talk about all the examples of co-production. But we're trying very much, when we set up this new commissioning part, we're not doing to the voluntary sector or the third sector. We're working alongside them. We're also working alongside service users to actually work this through. What we try and do in every case now, we'll co-produce with both staff and also service users, the people who get those services. And it's really important we stick to that and really take into account what people are saying, not what we think, but what people are really saying, and understand that in a way. So co-production, there's a danger you just tick the box and we do this and we say it. Well, you've got to really do it and mean it and stick to it over a period of time. I think the other part, the culture piece, absolutely right. So the last 2 or 3 years, this trust has really worked hard in terms of changing that. that torque tanker, it's been going in one direction for a long period of time, and we've really got to change it so it's easier to make change. It's easier for staff to get involved. It's easier for people to speak out and make a difference. You're absolutely right. Honestly, I really support what you've talked about there in terms of those things. We've got to do it and really make a difference. And it's got to be things that we try and get the rest of the system to also take seriously. People often talk about health inequalities and co-production very lightly, but they don't necessarily follow through. And we've got to do this on an ongoing basis, year after year after year after year. And we've got to make sure people like me really get it and explain themselves, go through in that way. As I said, I can't talk about all the details of everything we've done in that area. Others can, and it's probably something we need to come back on, or we need to explore fully. But absolutely, couldn't agree more with what you're talking about there.
Brilliant. And I'd like to take this time just to thank you, Rudy, for calling in the program. And again, I think when we have our executive directors on in this kind of space, which is so interactive, so engaging, when people like yourself come on and ask specific questions, we get answers. And like Dave says, we've got to work harder to make this thing easier. As he said, it's a complex, sophisticated process, and it's going to take some time. So thank you for taking the time and also asking a couple of great questions. That was Rudy Page there. And Rudy, if you remind me, I'm sure you're from London, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed, but spend a lot of time in Birmingham, of course.
Of course, brilliant.
For 40 years. That was
brilliant. And I know that you know the NHS really well, so it's really important that as we together go forward, that we can really make some positive contributions to this dialogue. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Rudy Page there calling us from London. And as you can see, the reach is really quite important in terms of how we do this work. And Dave, your point about consultation, I think, is really important. And I want to ask you, because I think we're very much data driven. And when we talk about inequalities and consultation, and again, you use a term which I often use, people have been literally, you know, researched and consulted to death. And whilst it's important to get people's voices, especially in that co-production, we have a lot of data and we have a lot of information about what we should be doing. And I can think of several recommendations, both nationally. We can think of Stephen Lawrence, for example. We can think of deaths in custody, where there are several examples of things that we should be doing. And whilst we're rising and moving forward, and we can see the shift within, certainly in our organisation, why is it important that we still do more consultation, given this time?
Yeah, I think the danger is, Brasford, what you can get is, we know what people were saying a few years ago. We know what the people that come forward have said. That doesn't mean to say it's right up to date. It doesn't mean to say that newer voices don't come through.
Yeah.
And I think it's like anything. I always use the thing about balance. We've got to do enough of both. But really, there's no point doing consultation unless it's turned into action, doing something about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got to do enough of that. At the same time, we've got to continue to listen. It's maybe find different ways to do it, to get people involved in services. So they're helping us shape and make the change as opposed to tell us what they want.
Absolutely.
So it's to work with them to really get into that delivery piece. And about the consultation is exactly what it is. It shouldn't be asking people, we're doing this, what do you think? It should be saying, look, we really don't know what to do here. We've got a few ideas, but we really value your input to get the other side. And it's difficult to get people to believe you around that. But I think we've got to do both. But it's really important we get the action side, the delivery side of this buttoned.
Yeah.
Really, really have the evidence say, has this worked? And not be afraid, if we made a change and it doesn't work, to change. The danger is you do the change and people say, I can't change that now. It's, you know, everyone said it's wonderful. We've got to really be constantly evidence-based and constantly get people involved as we go through. Because as much as the what, it's the how. How do we do this in a way that's different?
And here's it. Yeah. And I agree, Dave, and this is great. So is our leadership, and I guess it's a bit rhetorical, really up for this in the way that I hear you speaking around. You know, you're passionate about that. I can hear that coming through, and you very rarely hear that from a finance director. So, you know, it inspires me to hear you speak in this way. So are we the sustainability of this kind of leadership? You know, what and you've been around for a while, and my cautiousness is around people like yourself who clearly are around to see that transition happening. How do we sustain this model of working? How do we sustain that?
Okay, so two or three things there. So I've never known a body of people that's more up for it, seriously.
Brilliant.
And I wouldn't do that if I didn't believe it. Often people talk about it and then don't do, but this doesn't do that. And it's not just the exec leadership. It's not people like me. It's the entire board.
Brilliant.
You get the constant still challenge, push, etc. at the non-exec level. When we have a discussion about board, it's really about how is this going to make a difference and hold us to account. And that's important to get local people in there and influencing what's going on. It's also the Council of Governors who represent both staff and our service users and speak on behalf of them and the public as well. Just all that flows through around this. Just give me the rest of the question, Beresford, because I didn't answer it all. What else did you
ask? Yeah, so it was the sustainability. How do we sustain? It's everybody's responsibility, but it's your style of leadership filtering down, giving.
Okay.
I think Rudy mentioned it as well, the culture of the organisation, because we're starting to see the head, if you like, of the organisation. We can see some of the changes and the shift. But how do we sustain that down so it comes through to the people on the ground in a sustainable way?
So,
that trust and confidence.
It's really critically important that if the execs weren't here or some of the people weren't here, it would still count. It's that embedding is what makes the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, the heritage, the legacy is what we leave behind. How do we make sure the organisation changes and continues if we weren't there? That is the challenge for us. And it's really important. It's not because Roisin says or I say or whatever. It's because it's the right thing to do. That's why the values are so important. They should drive everything we do. It's why it's important we have the priorities that translated to everybody on the ground. So every team would know what's important. They already know that. How do they fit in? How do they know what they need to do? And how do they know what good looks like? By being able to describe it in that way, for local services, local people, you can see if you're achieving it. And you've then got to give people the resources to change that as well. So you've got to really live up to this in a way that makes a difference. Sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes it's really difficult. But the right people will do the right thing despite all that outside pressure. They'll find a way to deliver that and keep the organisation safe from all that so we can do the really good things. And this, the leaders in this organisation, not just at the board level, but throughout it, really want that. And we've got to make sure it feels different and it feels like that all the way down. So things like where we get difficulty in terms of staffing or recruitment or IT or whatever, that's what people see and that's what they think. We think of them. We've got to get the minimum level that, you know, the things on the ground that people judge us by right as well, because it's all part of the same thing. There's no point having a great culture if your systems are poor, if your processes are poor, if it's difficult to be heard, if it's difficult to recruit. That's all got to be consistent as well. And as long as I'm here, and I'll be here till I retire, I'll tell you that now, I'm not going anywhere else. As long as I'm here, I'll be pushing to make that change real on the ground and to make sure it's embedded. And we hold ourselves accountable for that as well. Are we really making the difference that we want to?
Dave, I have to tell you, I'm inspired by what you say, because it looks like I'm going to be around for a while as well, because I think part of that systems change that we're talking about and culture change is about that historical memory and the legacy that feeds into where we were and how we're transitioning and how we, like you say, leave that legacy, that we can continue to see the change that is so needed for some of the most vulnerable people in our city. And Dave, thank you so much for your time today. We're coming towards the end of the program, and it's been enlightening. It's certainly been engaging. And again, thank you to our caller that called. You still have a chance if you want to make a quick comment. 0121 772 8892. Dave, you're an author, and I should have mentioned that amongst all the other. I should have mentioned that, and I've only got about 60 seconds left, but it means that I get the opportunity to invite you to come back, and I hope you take the opportunity.
Anytime, Beresford.
That's brilliant, because again, I know the execs are committed to coming onto this space, and it's been a real help in terms of how we communicate to our local communities. So when I get you back on again, I'm going to start with the author bit, because I think
bet you are. You're just trying to trick me here, aren't you?
No, absolutely. Anybody that writes books about Leeds United in the way that you have several times needs to be heard, and we need to talk about that. But thank you again for this afternoon.
People like me.
Thank you so much for your time. We've come to the end of the program.